Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, good morning, church, and blessings to you. As always, first Sunday in of the month, we have corporate communion. And, you know, we do value sharing in the Lord's Supper. So as the servants are going out there to hand you the elements, may you keep, after we're completed, may you keep them, and they'll pick up the little plastic cups at the end of our communion time. Just another reminder is that all other Sundays, if you've never been here before, all other Sundays, we do have communion in the back. So where you can go individually and have your own time, whether you're by yourself or you're with your family, every Sunday there's an opportunity for a communion time. So please join us in that. While they're serving, I want to read a scripture. And it's out of Hebrews 4, 14 and 16 through 16. And it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus made it possible for us to approach the throne of God and to have nothing that would restrict us from that. So we thank Jesus for making a way for us to be in that place. So as we take communion today, I do ask to remind you that the great work that our Jesus did on that cross was for each one of you, for me, and that as we take the elements to know that this is not just something we do. This is a special thing for all of God's children, a time to, as the Word says, to remember. Remember what Christ did on that cross. And so it's nothing to be just taken as a tradition or something that we, because we're a Christian church, that we do this. So as soon as everybody gets their elements, we will all take communion together. Word says that the night of the, what we consider the Last Supper, on the night that he was betrayed, that after giving thanks, that Jesus broke bread and gave it to his disciples, and he told them that this was his body. And we know that that body was broken. That body was suffered a lot of abuse. But yet today that body is food for our spirit. And so as we take the bread today, please have that in mind, that he gave his body for you. Take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup, and he told his disciples that this was to remember him. And this was a new covenant until he would return. And so this cup represents his blood. And I've said this before, that every drop of blood that Jesus had, from the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet, he gave so that we would have forgiveness of sin. Please take the cup. So just take a moment Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us. We praise you. And Lord, we are here today to worship you, to glorify you.
So I dressed like this on purpose today. Some people are thinking, you did that on purpose? But I pray for my wife. It's hard for her to see me dressed like this right now. And, you know, I've never worn like a ripped pair of jeans in my life, other than I guess like when I'm changing oil or doing yard work. But you know, there was this thing, and I kind of need to repent a little bit. You know, when I first time I ever went to a youth convention as a youth leader, there was, I don't know, just this thing. I walked in and I saw people like on the stage, it's like they have ripped jeans, denim jackets, specific type of haircut. I'm like, is that like the youth leader starter kit or something, you know? Like, do I need that to fit in? And because like normally me, polo, jeans, t-shirt, jeans, right? But here's the weird thing, right? It wasn't until recently what I started doing, kind of like putting my money to work, is I started reselling shoes. But in order to do that, I needed to know what would sell. So who knows what would sell? It's the people who are wearing those shoes, right? Those people that had a certain style of fashion. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just look at that, research that, right? Trust me, this is going somewhere. So I saw that, and then you know what? It started getting to this thing where I started appreciating certain things about what they liked. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, maybe that's not too bad. I could wear something like that. Or maybe something I didn't think I'd ever put on, like this shirt. I was like, hey, I kind of like it. So there's this thing about community. Okay, I don't even know any of these people like in person, face to face, but I do know something about them from what I've seen online. Now, the thing is like you and I together, we're a community. Here in this church, we're a community. In Romans 12, it says that that each one of us is a part of the body. And then it goes on to say we all belong to each other. Belong to each other. Now, I know, like, ever since, like, a lot of the lockdown stuff's been lifted, all these people, like, start opening up their restaurants, entertainment stuff, you know, we have this new kind of freedom. But we need to make sure that we remember not everything that we're free to do is profitable for us. And one thing I want to encourage you to do is to make sure you find that community with the church. Because the thing is like so many times in Proverbs, it'll tell you the kind of people you're around, they can change you. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And it says, 1 Corinthians, this one's, you probably know this one, chapter 15, verse 33, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. So if, imagine what happens if we do the opposite, right? And there's an example of that in Hebrews 10, this is verse 23 to 25. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's part of the reason why we're together, so we can spur each other on to do good deeds, so that we could do whatever we're made to do, that we find our ministry and we use it for the glory of God. And it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So I just encourage you, if you have an opportunity, gather together with some believers It doesn't have to be something here, but you know what? We have stuff here. Bible study, we got that. Youth group, we got that. So, Mighty Women. We got that. We got men's breakfast. Yeah, that's better. So, it's true, it's true. But I got to encourage them. See, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. So, let me just encourage you. You know what? Make sure you're around other Christians. Gather together. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's support one another. Let's pray for each other. Let's show love to one another. And let's spur each other on to do the things that we were made to do. Amen.
When Abe mentioned youth convention, this picture in my mind automatically just like flashed in my head. Because the thing that's amazing about, I mean, I'm an adult. And if our kids go to youth convention, I'm like, let me be there. I'll be there. Because it's such an experience. But plain and simple, one of the most amazing things to me is the way that those youth will worship with no inhibitions. It's like there's nothing in the way of that worship service right there. There's nothing gonna stop them. There's nothing that's gonna keep them from meeting with God in that moment. There's been so many times that I walk into a youth convention and not know a single song on the set list, not one, because they're brand new. Because they're original pieces by the bands that are there. Because whatever it might be, but I've never heard a single song. But it doesn't matter because those kids will run up there and worship not knowing a single word. Because it's not about the music. It's not about any of that. It's about the meeting with Him. God, I want to meet with you now. I hunger and thirst for you in a way that I am meeting with you now in this place. Man, it's exciting. It's exciting because it's a reminder of who we are when we first find God. But that's the thing, is we're not ever meant to lose that fire. As we go into the Word, which I know we speak about a lot, but as we dive in, there's an igniting that happens constantly. Because as revelation reveals things in your life, you become new, and you become new, and you become new. Because the Word is not just something that happens and is gone. It's not fleeting, but it's everlasting. It's always changing. It doesn't matter if you're a little kid or if you're older. It doesn't matter. Because listen to me. I love that you guys laughed when I said older, because in the kingdom, He does not care. He tells us that we're to be renewed like the eagle. Do you know that they go through a period where they do, when they get to a certain age, their feathers start to come off and they get to a point where people think, oh, that bird's gonna die. But they don't. They go through, it's like a molting, but it happens and they are renewed and they are fresh. And that's what the Bible is talking about. When you think you're done, you're not done. When you think, I have nothing left, I'm gonna walk in this church and I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna enjoy a good word, and I'm just gonna enjoy the time. Let me tell you, that moment that you're in that seat is for Him to meet with you. Don't become stagnant. You know, when the Bible talks about being stagnant, He's not just talking about new babies. Oh, man, I can feel it. He's not just talking about the babies. He's talking about the ones, too, that have known Him for years, who have wisdom, sometimes we get real comfortable. We get real comfortable just doing the regular day to day. When the truth is that word never stops growing with you. He's got something new for you, no matter where you're at in your life. No matter what's going on, he's got something. You were created with purpose. And that purpose isn't just for this quick like flash of brightness and then it's gone. And then you're okay to sit back. No. He created you with purpose that never ends. He's always got something for you. That's why he tells us that we are meant to move mountains. That through him, all things are possible. Because there's not a moment in our life that you become useless. There's not. That's why it's a one-on-one relationship. That's why we talk about being independently dependent on him, because he's got something specifically for you. This isn't just playing church. This isn't just walking in some church doors to go through the motion. This is him meeting with you, building a relationship with you. And just like Abe said, we're all here for the encouragement, for the, yeah, let's go. Yeah, keep fighting. Yeah, you're victorious. Yeah, he's got you. We will do it with you. But he's got something for you. Man, you know, I read a thing this week that said, don't let others stifle your greatness. And when I first read it, I was like, I guess people, if they want to be mean. But the truth is that sometimes people will do it without even realizing that they're doing it. Do you know that as we dive into that word, he's going to begin to give you things that seem a little bit crazy? God, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to work that out. But let me tell you, this is where it is important to be diving in, to be hearing exactly what he's saying, because there are going to be people standing next to you that have not received the same revelation you have that might stifle what's happening in your life if you let them. And I don't know who he's talking to, but there's somebody that he's doing something in your life, and you felt a little discouraged by what maybe some people around you are saying. And let me tell you, don't worry about it. Because whatever he's given you, let it spark and let it burn. Because he's got something great. He's got something great. And he's given it to you for a reason. And if you step out in faith without knowing what's ahead, you're going to begin to see that these things in your life just begin to come forth that you never knew were there. And he'll place you in positions and he'll do things for your life that you never imagined could happen. But that's because it's him in you. So don't let what people don't see in the kingdom affect what you do. Keep walking. Keep walking in the kingdom. Keep diving in, because he's doing something great for you.
Well, here's a question for you guys. When you look in the mirror, do you love what you see? You might ask, is that before the makeup or after the makeup, right? I don't see how guys make it, you know. We don't wear any makeup. But... that's a good question. You know, do you love what you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? And do you see areas in yourself that you're not you're not totally happy with. You know, you look at your nose and maybe it's a little tipped, or you look at your ears, maybe they're a little bit off kilter. You look at your teeth, or maybe there's a few more wrinkles than back in the old days. Your hair, or lack of. Too short, too tall, too skinny, too chunky. All these things, you know, and as I say this, I know I'm really uplifting you guys. You know, this is this is an uplifting message. Really, it is. But to look at this, you know, we all have something that maybe we're not totally happy with. Yeah, and there's also a possibility that maybe there's something even beyond our physical appearance, something that no one else sees but yourself. You know the depths of where you are. You know the depths of where you've been. And we see flaws. And, you know, we think that those flaws stand out, but most of the time they're just things that you're looking at. But now here, what about when you see your spouse, or when you see a family member, or even a friend? Do we focus on all that is wrong with that person rather than all that is good? My message today is going to focus on four areas, and that is receiving God's love, our love for Him, loving one another, and then loving ourselves. So I'm going to start off with going to Matthew 22:38. Actually, starting with verse 34. Thank you. And it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. You notice that they're always testing Jesus. Yeah. Poor guy can't get away from somebody putting him to the test. We're in a good category, aren't we, when we face the people around us. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, this is mostly what my message is going to revolve around, just these two commandments. You know, when I looked at them, I thought, what a sad thing that we would have to be commanded to love. What a sad thing for our Creator, our God, having to tell us, you've got to love me. And to think that the same would apply to those around us, that I could imagine me telling my wife, you know, woman, I command you to love me. She'd probably just snicker and laugh and walk off, you know. So, and so the whole part of this is that love isn't something that we should be commanded to do. It should be something that comes from within. It should be something that we allow because it's just there. And you see where the word says that God is love. And if we know God, then we must know love. And so all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for giving us that place. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way so that we were not held by the law, and a law that we never really had to have. It was never God's intentions that we be held by a law. It was God's intention to love us from creation. It was God's intention to love us, that we would love him and he would love us. So, like I said, it should be something that is written in our hearts, not something that brings fear and that us having to do. And sometimes maybe we do that as a dad or as a mom or who knows what your place is. But sometimes, you know, rather than to let love flow in your homes or with your families, we begin to be a little more strict with who we are and how they do things. And sometimes we do demand rather than just be the example and be prepared to receive that we're showing our families to do. The scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. And it does sound easy enough for most of us, but is it? What if you don't know how to receive love? And how can you love yourself? You know, how do you love yourself to be loved? If you maybe there's been things in your life that you just haven't seen that love flow freely with it. And maybe you don't even believe things in your life where you don't even really truly believe that God could love you like he says he does, like this book says he does, that God could love you in that way. And if that's true, then you wouldn't be able to convey love to others because you don't understand it yourself. You don't have it within you. You don't know what it is to give if you don't have. You've got to be filled with the love of God if you ever expect to give anything from you, or else it's just selfish love that you're giving out. And so it's something that has to happen from above so that you could be able to share with those that are here. Some of us have gone through life being convinced that we're not smart enough, attractive enough, or that whatever we do is never good enough. And maybe we feel, you might feel that you were bypassed with having a good life, with having good things on while you're on this earth. Things maybe haven't gone quite well in your lifetime. And you think, well, everybody else, God loves them, but not me. There may be something there that you've been convinced of not being good enough. And if this is you, then you have actually believed the lie. We're defined. We are defined not by the world standards, but by our Heavenly Father. He is who defines us. And your real value, as you know, lies within. And God would say to you, you are truly worthy to be loved. Truly worthy. And just as at creation, the word says that God saw all that he had made, and he said it was very good. He made us in his image. He created us with what he was pleased with. And so not only did he create us in his image, but it says that he put his breath of life within us. He breathed into man. And so as you look at, this thousands of years ago, but that same breath lives in you today. The breath of God is within you. And guess what, too? Because of Jesus, his spirit today dwells in us. And so how can we not love what he loves? He loves us. And there's nothing better than an approval from God. He approves of you. And so how can we look at ourselves and think that maybe there's something wrong with us? Maybe there's something that God skipped because, you know, look around you. We don't all look the same, you know. A lot of us are cuter than others. Thank you. No, but we don't all look the same. But guess what? Somebody loves us. You know, somebody loves us, whether it's our children or our brothers and sisters. Somebody loves us. But most of all, he does. He loves us, and he doesn't see, he doesn't care in a sense that maybe you think your hair is not there or your nose is a little tweaked or whatever the case may be. He loves you just the way you are. So, what I want to do next is I am going to read out of Psalm 139, and I don't want the screen to show that psalm. And I know most of you are familiar with that. But I want to read that, and I would like you just to listen, receive it, close your eyes, whatever you need to do, but receive what I'm going to read out of Psalm 139. And I know I don't have a Charlton Heston type of voice, but some people are probably going, Charlton who? Yeah. That's where we outdate ourselves, right? When we start talking about things like that. But anyway, there we go. Psalm 139, just receive, just listen, just enjoy. And it says, and I'm starting with the verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay out your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created me in my own inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me, my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. If we could just see us ourselves as God sees us. We were created to shine at this specific moment in time. And I believe that God's heart lights with joy when he sees us growing with him. He sees us in the paths that he set out for us. I believe that he just shines, his face lights up. And because of Jesus, he sees perfection. And yet we let who we are sometimes dictate who we truly are. We let the things of the past, the way we were, dictate who we are today, who God sees us to be, where we really are. So will you hear the lies or the voice of truth? In Ephesians 1:18, Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. We need to empty our minds and open our hearts. If we're going to truly see ourselves and others the way that God does. And some of us have come a long ways from where we started. And I think if we take some time to remember that time, we all have our stories. Some of us a little worse than others. You know, we all come from a place that we didn't see ourselves as very lovable. But God did. So I hope that those things are just a memory, that you haven't allowed those things to be a stronghold, because God doesn't see that. It's only you that would have that. God sees you free. He sees you perfect. And he loves you just where you are. The worst that was in us at that time was known by God. And yet, he showered us with mercy, love, and acceptance. He saw beyond the moment. We couldn't. Maybe we didn't know we were going to get out of that moment. But he saw beyond the moment. And we can all sit here today and feel free of who we are. So I'm just here to tell you, let go of whatever's holding you, of those things of the past, because he wants to take you somewhere different. And that is the greatness of God's grace. So can we see beyond the moment for those that are so dear to us, our children, our siblings, our friends? You know, we may look around and we see some of our kids, in our case, maybe our grandkids, whoever it may be, brothers, sisters, friends. They may not be walking in that right path. They may not be in a place that you see that they are okay. Yet we pray for them and we maybe speak to them, try to tell them about God's goodness, and yet we don't see a change. But believe it or not, wherever they are in their journey, they are in a good place. And that might seem kind of when you see some of the things that our children go through, you might think doesn't sound right. But why is it that they're in a good place? Because God is there with them. No matter where. He's not going to leave them there. He's not going to leave you where you are today. There's still a lot for us to do, just as Rebecca said. There's so much for us to do. And yeah, we might be in a better place than we were when we first met God, but he's not done with us. And if we think we are that he is, then like Rebecca says, we might as well sit down and just watch it happen. That's not what he's asking of us. He's saying, I've got so much more to do with you. And even at that, he sees beyond this moment. So we've got to continue to believe and trust that God's unconditional love and grace is there for whoever it is that you're praying for, whoever it is that maybe has stumbled and is not where they need to be. And we must remember that when they stumble, they're not falling. They're just stumbling. God's going to pick them up because he's walking with them. Well, this wasn't a plan for me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Although we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone away. The new is here. You know that when you said yes to Jesus, all things became new. All things became new when you came to him and submitted. And that's exactly what born again is, right? You're a new creation. You were born again. It's not that they're redoing you. It's not restructuring. You're starting all over again. You were born again. And if we could accept that and see ourselves in that way, so that when that happens, is that from that point back, that old guy ain't around anymore. It's that new creation that God is looking at. He's not holding your sins against you. He's not holding all those things that sometimes, as I said earlier, you might go back to those memories and still feel that you're still that person. You're still that drug-addicted person or that drunk or the guy that looks at pornography. Whatever it is that was you, this is not you anymore. You're a new creation. No longer what the world sees, it says. The old us died so that Christ would live through us. And we read that all the time. You know, we agree with that. So if we believe that for us, could we also believe that for others? Even sometimes when you don't see evidence of that, you don't see that person that you've been praying for, that you've been ministering to. You don't see the evidence of this newness. They're still kind of hanging out in the back. But we have to believe that that is a new person. And sometimes, even when you're a baby, you need to grow. You grow in it. So rather than to be critical, because that's what happens a lot of times, when somebody begins to be a certain way and you don't see them changing, instead of sticking with them and sticking with what God's doing, again, because he's seeing beyond the moment, we become critical. Now we just kind of help the enemy get into that spiritual realm. And something you've got to understand is that sometimes our thoughts, the words that come out, even though you don't say it to that person, spiritually, you can be hurting people. Just in the way you think, in the way that you perceive, you could be hurting people. And so our criticism about people should not even be a part of our vocabulary. So could we see them through the eyes of our heart? See them beyond the moment as God does. Every time we tear someone down, we are doing so to one of God's children. Every one of you out there, including me, we're one of God's babies. He loves us just like we love our kids. So when we criticize, tear somebody down, how do you think it makes him feel? I'm going to ask you. You've had children. How do you feel when somebody says something nasty about your kid or your wife or somebody that's dear to you? I think for me personally, sometimes my Christianity, I put him in the back seat. You know, hang out back there. Let me deal with this one, God, you know. It's a lot easier when somebody comes against you maybe than it is when they come against your kids. You know, there's just something about the way we're built. Well, guess what? We're all God's kids. And I'm sure that it breaks his heart when we start tearing people down, start tearing people that are sitting next to you or that are at home, wherever that may be. So, see with God's eyes. Treat people the way that that God would treat them, the way that he would want us, with his heart. And it says to love others as you would love yourself. Well, I hope you find a way to love yourself and receive that love so that you can let it flow to people and not be tearing them down. So let's go to Luke 15. I'm going to start with verse 11. And you're all very familiar with this story. I'm sure they've been taught more than once, but I thought this was a very good story to connect with what I'm speaking of today. And this is the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, however you want to explain it. So I'm going to read starting with verse 11. And it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, I want to stop there and comment on that verse 13. You know, the son asked the father to get, you know, he wanted his stuff. I'm out of here. And, you know, you could have thought the father could have said, no, I'm not going to do it, you know. But he didn't do that. He said he let him make the choice. He let the son, you know, he let him do what the son was doing. And doesn't that seem sometimes with the way things are with us, even maybe sometimes we're not going to make the right decision, but we still make our decisions, we still make our choices, and God doesn't get in our way. God doesn't stop us from doing that. That is the beauty of what God's creation was. He gave us freedom of choice. And if we want to do something, as much as we shouldn't, but we still do. Okay? We have freedom to choose. Let's go on. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. So, the party can only last for so long, right? The money can only last for so long. And so, when you look at this whole thing, he had a pretty good time. But being hungry and homeless, you think it might kind of bring you back to your senses, even if it isn't for the right reason, but your stomach's telling you, hey, I want to get some good food here. You know, here the guy's, you know, eating along with pigs. And this is a son that came from an affluent family. And it's one of those deals where, yeah, you know, he finally realizes that he should go back. But how many times do we wind up in the pigsties before we finally realize that we need our Father? Finally realize that I blew it. I made a bad choice. But I can still go back and have that thought even that the Father would even want him back. So let's go on. It says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And this is the part that I want to focus on. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And I want to stop there. You think about that. He says, while he was still a long ways off, the father saw him. So the guy didn't send him an email to tell him, hey, Dad, I'm going to be there Thursday at 2:00. You know? He just decided that there was a time that he had to come back. But the father says he saw him from a long ways. So doesn't it kind of take you to believe that that father was there looking for him? Maybe from the day that he left, that he was out there saying, he'll come back. I know he'll come back. And so the father waits. And here comes, finally he sees the son walking. That's what he's been waiting for. Doesn't say how long. Could have been months. I don't know. I think. And it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. He ran. That's a picture of our Father in heaven. Whenever we come back, he's ready. He runs. Think about it. This guy was probably stinky from the pigs and you know, who knows what the guy looked like. But he embraced him and he kissed him. And that's, to me, that's the part I wanted to touch. That is a picture of our Heavenly Father. He's waiting, even if, whether it's you or someone in your family, he's waiting, he's looking. And as soon as that moment comes, when we finally give it up, he's going to run, hug us and kiss us, welcome us back into his family. Let's go on. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. That's what happens when our children, when we, that moment that we came, there was a celebration. The Father celebrates. And so that story is just to bring to light that I know we all have people in our lives that aren't where we think they should be. But if you trust in God, you trust in his grace and his mercy, they will be, just like we were. And God won't stop us from even making bad choices, as I said earlier. And yet he'll always be there when we seek him, ready to clothe us with his love and his mercy. It's God's will to bless us. And asking that question too, isn't that not what we want for our children, for each other? His word says that we are to have life more abundant, that we would have good health, prosperity, joy, and peace. And I know that the greatest blessing, I hope you know that the greatest blessing is being in his presence. We can have all the material blessings that he has promised us, but the greatest blessing is that we can come before the throne room and just be with our Father. Just be with him there to, as I've said before, to listen to his heartbeat, to just be where nothing else around matters except being with him. And I want to read John 16:33. Okay, John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Yes, it says that we will have tribulation. We will have troubles. Troubles do come. And many of them are self-induced, I think you would agree. Self-induced by the choices that we make. But yet his word also says that he will never leave us, that he will always be with us. And so when we focus on our troubles, they will naturally become overwhelming, right? Anything you put your mind to, anything you put your eyes to, that's your focus. That's what you're going to look at. And a lot of times we wind up spending more time looking at all the bad things that are going on around us than looking for the answer. And so when we turn our eyes toward Jesus, there is where we find peace, we find order, and rest in our troubles, because he's going to take care of them. We're not. Sometimes, like as I said, troubles are overwhelming. But if we can somehow get past that and turn our eyes towards Jesus, there we will find all we ever would need. There's one more thing that I'd like to do. And as I said, it's God's pleasure to bless us. And there's a song that gets played by our worship team, and you've heard it in the past, and our worship team does a beautiful job in this song. It's something that has touched my heart for a long time. I've told Linda, she's the one that brought this song to my attention. And I had told her a long time ago that my favorite Old Testament scripture was Numbers 6:24. And that's the blessing, called the blessing. And the New Testament is, if you want to know, finished. How much more simple can it be, right? That's my favorite. But right now we're going to play a video. And the song is The Blessing. The ladies have already had a taste of this, but when I heard it, and it just really lifted my heart. So if you'll just listen to this song and receive it for your children, for yourselves, for your families, for those that you love, and then will dismiss you. So go ahead, Abe, if you would. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. Enjoy your families today. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.